Every Saturday, we chat to the editor-at-large of My Broadband magazine and also the CEO of a company called Relative Entropy, Jan Vermeulen. This week is no different. Good morning, Jan. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you? You know, except for the load shedding, but at least nothing rough here for us so early.
Absolutely, absolutely. Did you enjoy your Valentine's Day? On Thursday.
I did, because my wife and I have an agreement that we don't celebrate Valentine's Day on Valentine's Day. We celebrate it a week later when it's cheaper.
That's a wise man. That's a wise man. She's a very lucky woman.
No, I'm a lucky man.
Jan, let's,
she's a very wise woman. I agree.
Jan, let's chat about some of the big stories coming out on the web this week. There's this story, especially relating to the kind of load shedding that we've had, that if it says that if load shedding continues, that the two largest cellular networks warn that network connection might be lost if we continue in this way. And also, they're saying that their batteries take up to 18 hours to recharge. And if electricity is repeatedly disrupted, it may result in network downtime. We cannot afford that as well as a country. Talk to us about that story.
Right, right. And so all networks are impacted in some way by load shedding, because there aren't necessarily backups for every single piece of networking equipment. And so what ends up happening is that traffic gets routed through areas that do have battery backups, and or you know, generator backups or something like that, and that can cause congestion even if the network doesn't go down. But yes, in the mobile network sense, I think people tend to forget that cellular networks need electricity to operate, because you know, we're so used to our phones being run on batteries. But every single cell tower needs a battery backup system. And as the mobile networks say, so they've got different kinds of systems. Now, I know of 8 battery bank systems and 16 battery bank systems. And depending on the load on the cell tower, that determines what kind of batteries you put on and also how long you want that tower to be able to operate on battery standby. Now, let's say that those batteries are able to operate on 12 hours or 12 hours of power outages. They then need, as MTN and Vodacom said, they need like upwards of 18 hours to recharge. And so you end up in a situation where if you've got, you know, consistent 2 or 3 hours of power outages throughout the day, you end up in a situation where the batteries don't fully recharge. Mm-hmm. Now, firstly, that can be quite bad for the batteries. And secondly, eventually, the battery just runs out of charge and the power has to shut down. There's no electricity. Tower can't run. And so there's a problem, especially at higher level load shedding. You know, if we're talking stage 4 and up, there's a real danger that mobile networks could run out of battery power on their towers, and then we sit without cellular connectivity in the country, and that can be a huge problem, because South Africa is a mobile first country now. You know, a few people have access to fixed line broadband, but the majority don't.
So we're looking at the batteries, Jan, and they say that the batteries generally have a capacity, like you said, for 6 to 12 hours. And obviously they require up to 18 hours to recharge. Now, when the towers go down, obviously as customers of Vodacom, MTN, we can't access the services. What kind of money are we looking at in terms of if batteries are disrupted in terms of the load shedding and the time it needs to fully recharge, what kind of financial impact are we looking at with regards to these customers?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, you have financial impacts on a couple of levels. So firstly, there's a direct financial impact to the mobile network operator, obviously, because they're unable to deliver services. And then there's the financial impact, the GDP impact on the country, because we're unable to phone and use mobile internet. And so it really depends. This isn't really a scenario we faced before. And so I honestly don't have those estimates in front of me, because it's really just too ghastly to contemplate at this stage. Just from a mobile network point of view, from a load shedding point of view, the load shedding alone when you're looking at stage two load shedding, is upwards of 2 billion rand a day that we're losing in the economy of the country. Now, add to that an outage on our telecommunications networks, it's just a huge sum of money.
Mm. It is a huge sum of money, but I'm thinking also the kind of impact that it has on businesses and living in, while we're living the fourth industrial revolution, we cannot afford as a country for our mobile networks and internet connectivity to be down.
Right, exactly. And so what eventually is going to happen is these companies can't afford this to happen, and so there's going to be like a crossover point at which stage they go, you know what, if we cannot rely on Eskom, then we're going to work around them, and that's going to be bad news for Eskom. Eskom is already not servicing or not delivering as much electricity as it used to in the past, probably partly because of load shedding and efforts to reduce people's usage, and so now. There's less demand in the country, which means that even when Eskom's full generation capacity is up online, it might not be able to sell it all. Maybe if the economy turned around and we had more of a booming economy, there would be higher demand on electricity and they'd be able to sell some more. But the thing is, if you've got businesses that go, you know what, we're going to move to renewables, we're going to move to solar wind, we're going to move to battery backups, we're going to move to our own kind of generation, we're going to generate our own electricity in a decentralized way, whether that, from non-renewable sources or from solar power or whatever. And then all of a sudden, there's even fewer customers for Eskom to service, and it's going to run into a situation where Eskom's client base will dwindle as businesses find alternatives to the central power utility. Yeah. So I think that's the other thing that is worth saying here, is that there might be some short-term pain if this terrible set of circumstances do end up happening.
Yeah.
But ultimately, you'll have businesses, especially telecommunications operators, that go, okay, the financial impact on us is far greater to try and rely on Eskom than to just roll our own power plants. So let's build our own power plants.
Of course. And
because it's more cost effective.
Absolutely. But also there is that possibility that any costs that escalates and losses that occur, those costs can come from the consumer.
Right, exactly. Eventually, all those investments have to be paid for, right? And so that's going to happen in a couple of ways. I mean, the Afrikaans saying was we're really going for the worst case scenario here now. But as a thought experiment, absolutely, let's do that. So there's a couple of ways in which that kind of investment can be funded directly by increasing prices, which is unlikely because the consumer can only bear so much at this stage with the depressed economy. And so in a greater likelihood is we'll see a pullback in the investment direct investment in the networks themselves, and instead investment in other infrastructure like power infrastructure to make that happen. And so, we're talking billions of rand that are being invested in mobile networks in South Africa at the moment. And instead of that money going into the connectivity, it might have to go into their own electricity generation capacity. And that's bad, too, because we really need the networks to expand and get better and increase their footprint and throughput and quality. So if they have to channel their money into building electricity, that would also not be good, even if it means that we don't, necessarily directly pay more at the end of the day.
Well,
it will cost us anyway.
Yeah, it's very encouraging to see that the president and his team, as much pushback as there is against the plans to unbundle Eskom in order to deal with the situation, that there is a plan in place and that they're quite resolute about moving forward to resolve the issues at Eskom at the moment. If you just joined us, my name is Jeremy van Wyk. This is Early Weekend Breakfast. My guest is Jan Vermeulen. He's the editor-at-large of My Broadband magazine. He's also the CEO of of Relative Entropy. And of course, Jan joins us every Saturday to talk matters tech. This morning's first story is really talking about the impact of load shedding on mobile networks, warning that a network connection might be lost if load shedding continues because it messes with the battery's recharge time, and that takes up to 18 hours. Jan, let's move on to our next story this morning on mybroadband.co.za. Driving license demerit system approved for South Africa?
Yes, this is a controversial one. I actually live in Tshwane, where the system has been trialed, and with organizations like OTA pointing to the Tshwane and Johannesburg trial for this system, you know, and going, it doesn't work. And basically what is being proposed here, and just to clarify exactly what's happened, is the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee on Transport has accepted the final amendments to the ARTO bill. It's now going to go to the National Assembly, and then from there, it'll be ready to be signed into law. So we'll see what the National Assembly makes of this. Hopefully they address some of the criticisms, but basically there are four key issues in this bill. So firstly, they're going to make it so that if you fail to pay your traffic fines, they can block you from getting your vehicle license. So when you go to renew your license disc, they can just block you and say you have to pay your traffic fines first. They're going to make it so that where documents had to be delivered by registered mail, authorities will now be able to serve documents on you by email and send reminders via WhatsApp and SMS. They are looking to remove the option for offenders to appear in court to challenge prosecution.
Okay.
That is really strange.
That's very strange. I would have...
That's the biggest point of contention at the moment. And then the demerit system, which is the other thing people don't like, but you know, elsewhere in the world, systems like this have been rolled out quite successfully. So I don't know that it's worked particularly well in Tshwane and Johannesburg, but the idea here is that depending on the offense, you get issued with a one to six point demerit. And if you have more than 12 points, your driving license gets taken away. So it's really just a general system or a generalization of the kind of laws we have in place anyway. There are ways for you to lose your license. This just makes it so that if you have a accumulation of traffic offenses, minor traffic offenses, your license can be taken away as well. It's not just major ones. But the big one is the changes in the way you can dispute false accusations against you. So that's a huge one.
I'm inclined to agree with the criticism leveled at this amendment bill, especially with regards to this bill having any of the intended impacts on South African driving habits. Now, we know that our roads, especially over the festive season, it's a bloody story, and people really need to change their attitudes in terms of how they behave on the road.
Yes, and our existing laws, like the ones, like how we see KwaZulu-Natal implementing these laws, especially around the existing laws, not ARTO, just the laws we have on the books at the moment, the zero tolerance policy they've got in KwaZulu-Natal on speeding and drinking and driving, especially over the holiday season with greater visible policing, has a far bigger impact. And this is the argument that organizations like OTA is making, is that visible policing has a far greater impact than any kind of demerit system does. And so getting the traffic police out there, having them conduct random stops, having them screen people for drunk driving and other traffic offenses really helps a lot more and keeps our roads far safer than these amendments will, in my opinion.
Absolutely, and I know there are many people who would agree with you. I agree with you as well, and hopefully, especially the option for offenders to elect to appear in court to challenge the prosecution being removed, I think that's a little bit, that's kind of bordering on it not being constitutional at all. But let's see what the future holds. Jan, thank you so much for joining me this morning from a very noisy pub, wherever you are this time of the morning, young man.
thank you very much, and I take you for the opportunity. I'm actually in Cape Town at the moment and enjoying every moment of it. The traffic is just a bit rough.
Yeah, no, but listen, enjoy the city. Thank you so much. That's Jan Vermeulen. He's the editor-at-large of My Broadband Magazine, also the CEO of a company called Relative Entropy, and Jan will join us on Saturday morning again. Thank you, Jan.